everyone. I am Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive, and I'm glad to be the host of a new podcast episode with Crew Network Specialists. Today, I've invited CEO Wendy Mann to talk about one of the organization's most important projects, Crew Network's fourth benchmark study. Almost 3,000 industry professionals across all commercial real estate sectors participated in the 2020 study, which is meant to measure progress for women over the last 15 years and benchmark diversity, equity, and inclusion in commercial real estate. I know Wendy is eager to share the most important findings of the study. Hello, Wendy. Welcome back.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me here.
So, what were the main goals of this study?
Well, this was an important year for us for many reasons, but the primary goals, and there were several of them, the first was to benchmark the progress of women in the industry, of course. That's primarily what we've done for the last 20 years. And the second, for the first time ever, we wanted to collect data for the Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the industry. No one has done that, and we felt like, as an organization that has been devoted to diversity, equity, and inclusion for 30 years, that it was important that we step up and collect that information. Additionally, we added a focus on to explore workplace culture, you know, to open up the issues around inclusion and belonging are very important. We wanted to also, another goal was to provide data and information to guide women and the BIPOC community and other diverse groups of people striving to advance in their career. Our data helps them for negotiation, for just having insight and framework as they're seeking careers. The study provides information for those seeking careers in the industry. The documentation and data helps those who are pursuing careers. Another goal was to inform companies and managers about the values and priorities of their employees. We really want companies to take this data and take it to heart and say, okay, here's what the larger community is saying. Where do we stand as a company on these issues? And what has been the experience for our employees? And finally, of course, our research, you know, our goal is to enhance research and data for organizations that desire greater DEI. So those, it's a lot, I know, but those are really the main major goals.
What did the study reveal about progress for women in CRE? In which areas is there room for improvement, so to say?
Great question, and that is a big, broad point of all of this, right? So the study results revealed that there has been very little progress for women in the industry over the past 5 years, much to our dismay. You know, and since, you know, we do the study every 5 years, so that there's been very little progress since 2015. Our last study year. You know, it's very disappointing, but it's also an important milestone for us to say, look, here we are. Progress hasn't just been slow. It's been really non-existent the last 5 years. So come on, industry, let's step up. So their disparity remains in the following areas. Women represent 36.7% of professionals in the commercial real estate industry. And that percentage has remained between 35 to 37% over 15 years. So no real movement there. Women are still less likely to reach the top positions in commercial real estate. This year, we saw a 5% decrease in women in the SVP, managing director, or partner level, which again is disappointing. And women have represented just under 9% of the roles in C-suite over the last three studies, so no real progress there. Additionally, there are 43% of men and 32% of women in commercial real estate aspire to reach the C-suite, which is, for women, that percentage is up just slightly. And overall, the total compensation combined across the genders, there's a 34% gap, which is nearly 11%. Yeah, 11% increase. So that was really discouraging to see as well. So those are some of the highlights of the study, and we can talk deeper about that. But again, I just point out, you know, it was very disappointing to see that so little progress or change has happened.
You mentioned the substantial compensation gap between women and men, and this is a consistent finding of your last three studies. Why are things progressing so slowly in this area?
You know, Laura, you know, we see this gap continued between men and women in terms of compensation. I think the most interesting aspect of this study is that it shows that there remains a 10% gap in base salary, which is closer. You know, the gap is not huge, But the bonus and commission gap is 56% between men and women. That's a lot. In addition to that, there's another major point I think is really important here is the gap for women of color. The industry must address the major salary gap for white women and women of color. But I particularly want to call out that for women of color in the industry, there's not only a bonus and commission gap, but base salary as well. So let's look at that. While white women earn 10% less than men in base salaries, the gap is wider. Asian women, that gap is 14%. Black women, it's 15%. And for Hispanic Latinx women, 20%. That's pretty significant. In addition, going back to the commission and bonus gap, white women, it was 56%, if you recall, I just said. The gap for Black women for bonus and commission is 71%. Asian women,
Wow.
73%. Hispanic and Latinx women, 74% gap. I mean, that's just unconscionable that that is what's happening in our industry. So that definitely needs to be addressed. And our research indicates that the persistent pay gap can be the result of several factors, including bias, barriers, hiring practices, or it could be women's reluctance to negotiate. And all of that could be compounded by the effect of women being underpaid historically, where starting compensations and raises are often pegged to their prior year versus what the market rate is. So women are less likely to have the benefit of having a sponsor as well who will advocate for them when it comes to comp discussions. So those are all things that impact.
You previously mentioned that approximately 36.7% of all professionals in commercial real estate are women, and over time, this percentage has remained between 35 and 37. Does this mean that commercial real estate is still a man's world, or are women simply not that interested in pursuing a career in this field?
You know, that's a great point, that it's remained fairly steady. I do think that at this moment in time, it's still predominantly a man's world in the senior executive roles. And while commercial real estate has not been a traditional career path, we have seen an increased interest in the profession by women. And as more women enter the business and advance to the top executive positions, we think more women will aspire to do the same, meaning if she can see it, she can be it. So I think, you know, as we see that transition. The other thing I'd say is that I expect, my observation is that we'll see a shift in the business once the next wave of baby boomers retires at the top levels in our industry. So as we see more white men in the 65 to 75 year range retiring and moving on, the next generation of professionals in the industry will be much more diverse, at least from a gender standpoint. And I think there'll be a different an attitude, if you will, about diversity, equity, and inclusion by the younger generation of men coming up, because their mindset and their upbringing has been significantly different than the baby boomers.
And maybe an encouraging sign is the fact that the study saw a greater proportion of women at the entry and mid-levels of the career path, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is a very encouraging sign. I think absolutely. So as I mentioned, as we start seeing those baby boomer generation retiring, I think we'll see a significant shift of the younger generations entering the workforce. I think we will see more women coming into the industry as Crew Network continues to intentional about career outreach and building the talent pipeline for women. There are a number of resources and initiatives we have underway that will make an impact.
What can you tell us about the new generation of women entering the commercial real estate industry?
Well, the study saw a 5.4% increase in respondents who were 39 years old and younger in the study. I think that indicates a growing generation of young and emerging women professionals in our industry. You know, Crew Network is in the process of launching a very robust career center online, which I think will also go a long way in attracting more women and young professionals to the industry.
And what about career satisfaction? What did respondents say about career satisfaction and the barriers they encounter along the way?
You know, it's interesting because women's career satisfaction is at the lowest level since the study began in 2005. So 55% of women are very satisfied with their career compared to 68% of men. More men than women tie their increases in satisfaction to increases in compensation. And the study indicates that barriers to success for men and women remain pretty much the same as in 2015. So, not a lot of surprise there. But I think the big thing is that their satisfaction level is lower than it's been since the study started.
The top five self-reported barriers to success have not changed for women since 2015, although the ranking of the top three has been reshuffled, right?
That's right. Yes, the lack of company mentor sponsorship dropped down from first to third, indicating that perhaps more women are being mentored or sponsored in 2020 than in the past. In order, women listed barriers to success in the industry. The first was lack of promotional opportunities. The second was gender discrimination. The third was lack of a company mentor sponsor. As I noted, that dropped down from first to third. The fourth was the personal choice to maintain work-life balance. And then the fourth were constraints relating to family responsibilities.
The percentage of women who reported being very satisfied with their level of career success decreased in 2020. Is there an explanation behind this?
Laura, there could be several reasons for this trend reversal. As demonstrated in our research and reinforced in academic literature at all levels and sectors, women receive lower pay, there are fewer opportunities for upward mobility, and less access to leadership roles than their male counterparts. So that's definitely part of the explanation. Also, women could be growing increasingly frustrated at being unable to reap the financial benefits of a thriving industry as fully as men, as our compensation figures show. So the lack of progress, despite individual and collective efforts to move the needle, could be taking a toll on women, as well as their increased awareness about the persistent disparities and challenges women face in the workplace. So that lack of progress that we've have validated in the study, that could be just taking a toll on women and impacting their ability to be satisfied with their success. I also wonder if this is reflected by the respondents, the greater number of younger generation respondents that we have, the 39 and younger group, that perhaps they're a more vocal group and they have a new perception or perspective on their perception of success.
And speaking of career success and career satisfaction, in 2015, you began asking respondents to identify the highest level they aspired to reach in their careers. How far away do women aspire to go?
Well, this is something that I've always been intrigued by, the response to this. So, this year in our 2020 study, the 43% of men and 32% of women in commercial real estate aspire to reach the C-suite. That's just a slight increase over our data from 2015. I would also add that this year's study found that women under 40 were more likely than women over 40 to aspire to reach the C-suite.
Most of the women that participated in the study work in asset management, which includes property management, corporate real estate, and portfolio management. Why are women more interested in this area? What qualities make them better managers?
So, of the four major specializations that we focus on in the study, asset management has the highest representation of women at 44%. Property managers, asset managers, and corporate real estate professionals make up nearly 15% of CREW Network's membership, which is a pretty large share considering that we have 36 qualified fields of commercial real estate in our membership. So, I think that property management is an easy entry point for women into the commercial real estate business, and that's why you see a lot of women in that particular discipline or field. And I think that once they enter through property management, they get more interested and they get experience and kind of broaden. They become more engaged in all aspects. I mean, plus property management is an excellent career path, both for both men and women, but particularly women. I think it will always be part of a key part of business, and it requires talented leaders who can grow to executive levels. Like I think about Karen Witt, who is president of property management for Colliers America. She's on our board of directors and a terrific example of an executive woman leading the property management business. So I think what people can see it and be it, right? Women see someone in a role like that, so it's attractive. I think in terms of the qualities that make better managers, I don't know if women are better than men, but I think anyone who aspires to a role in property management must be a quick thinker, an excellent problem solver, have the ability to flex to situations, be detail-oriented and collaborative.
I agree. Let's move on to a different topic now. For the first time, your study asked respondents if they experienced sexist behavior offensive to them in the workplace. What did respondents have to say about this?
Yes, so we have been moving forward as an organization with expanding our own DEI efforts. And it was clear that the workplace culture has and will continue to have a huge impact on women in the workforce. So it was time, we thought, to ask questions around this to get a true sense of their experience in a non-biased survey format. According to the data, women were much more likely to report that they experienced offensive sexist behavior at least once in the past year. 45% of women versus 20% of men. The majority of men and women said they had not experienced sexual harassment in the past 12 months. However, 7% of women and 3% of men did report being harassed at least once in the past year. So that's great. I mean, it's not great data. It's great information and insight for us to have that we've not had before. So we're really glad that we can share that with companies because companies need to know that that's still going on, not in the numbers that we saw 20 or 30 years ago, but certainly it's something that culturally companies need to be cognizant about.
What is driving the shift regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion, which has been observed by your respondents? What is driving this shift?
Yeah, when we asked in the study about if the respondents noticed change, there were several different drivers that they saw that were pushing this forward, which is great to hear. 67% of the respondents said it was due to external pressures in the industry. 66% said it came from mandates from the CEO or other top executives. 45% cited company leadership changes for the reason for the shift, meaning they had new leadership at the top. 42% said that they had new HR policies. 40% said that it came from staff demanding change, which we've seen through other in other segments, business industries as well.
And how did diversity, compensation, and gender data vary across Canada, the United Kingdom, and the US in the study?
That's been really interesting as well, and it's great that we have representation from those various markets. So the U.S. has the largest percentage of women in commercial real estate based on our study, which was 37%. Canada is not far behind. Their respondents reported 36% and 32% in the U.K. Interestingly, the compensation gap is larger in Canada than in the U.S. Comparing earnings from salaries alone, as well as commissions and bonuses. Canadian women make 18% less in base salary than men and 69% less in commissions and bonuses. While American women make 9% less in salary and 55% less in commission and bonuses than men. Workplaces in Canada are more racially diverse than in the US and the UK, though. It's important to point that out.
As a conclusion, women in commercial real estate remain at one-third of the workforce. The gap in earnings persists. Women continue to be less likely to reach top positions at their companies than men. How do you expect things to progress going forward?
Laura, through our research, including our research papers on diversity, pay parity, and unconscious bias, and more, we know that the industry is finally starting to recognize the business benefits of bringing diverse talent to the industry. It's no longer that it's just the right thing to do. Study after study has proven that inclusion of different people based on gender, race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation is a business advantage. Companies that prioritize diversity are outperforming others, including greater earnings, better governance, greater innovation, and more opportunity. So, as more companies prioritize recruiting, retaining, and advancing women Black, Indigenous, and people of color in their recruitment efforts and retention efforts, the needle will move. and the playing field will level. It's just being intentional and putting that stake in the ground and saying, we're going to make change in our company. That's how we need companies to act to make that progress.
Based on the findings of your study, what should the agenda for change over the next 5 years focus on?
Well, there's five key areas that we need to focus on. One is closing the commission and bonus gap. That's just extraordinary for all women and unacceptable. We need to, number two, solve the diversity challenge, making the industry more diverse, equitable, inclusive. We need to start with our own organizations first. And so I think companies are making those moves now. And my hope is that in 5 to 7 years, we will definitely see, by our next study, we'll definitely see change. But we have to solve that challenge of identifying and hiring and retaining diverse people within our organizations. I think number three is a better understanding of why women are less satisfied in commercial real estate so that we can retain and advance women more in the industry. We need more women. That's just the bottom line. So we need to understand that. Number four on our agenda needs to be championing the positively changing the culture in our workplace. You know, we need to have culture change, and this benefits everyone, no matter who you are in the organization. And finally, we at Crew Network are on our agenda will be to continue to build that talent pipeline of women and BIPOC, the future leaders of our industry. We need to be building that and bringing women and Black, Indigenous, and people of color into the industry.
Hopefully. What should industry and company leaders do to increase diversity, equity, and inclusion in commercial real estate going forward?
Leaders must continue to understand the issues presented in this benchmark study and treat resolving them as a business imperative. So leaders in commercial real estate, number one, need to top leaders need to be invested, involved, measured, and held accountable. So this needs to be ongoing. This is not a one-off thing where we're in a moment in time, but it has to be it's systemic within organizations, in companies where there's ongoing investment. Number two, companies should hire an external consultant who can identify gaps, barriers, unconscious bias, and help the company take action to overcome it, and then put accountability measures in place for the long term. Third, every company should be conducting pay equity tests for every employee on a regular basis. I think number four, comprehensive bias training is crucial because that's, I think, somewhat where everything starts. If you have bias and unconscious or recognized bias. And then number five, of course, I encourage every company to partner with Crew Network to advance the industry to be more equitable for all. We are providing resources, information, insights, and it speaks volume to potential employees that you're committing to partnering with an organization that's sole mission is to advocate for women in the industry. So the intentionality, the culture shift, sponsorship, and actions. And I would just add that, in the words of the UK suffragette Emily Pankhurst, deeds, not words. We need more action and less talk to make change.
I totally agree. Thank you, Wendy. It was great talking to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, so much.
Until our next audio meeting, stay safe and visit cpexecutive.com for the latest commercial real estate news, interviews, and podcasts.